church. Glad you're here. If you have your Bibles, will you open them, please, to Genesis 4. Genesis 4. As this morning we visit the Box Canyon of Anger. You don't have to look very far to see that our world is filled with angry people. There are riots and demonstrations and wars and acts of unmitigated violence. There are battered women and abused children and drive-by shootings, assaults on teachers. And you don't have to live very long at this life to know that we have a world full of angry, angry people. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is your AQ, your anger quotient? Is it somewhere there around normal, 98.6, or does it usually reside up around the boiling point, somewhere around 210? And it doesn't take much to make you steaming mad. You know, you look at this audience of people, and we're all dressed in our Sunday best and on our best behavior and have our best smiles, and you look across this audience and you'd say, you know, there's probably not a lot of anger in an audience like this. Don't let externals fool you. Many of us have been living with anger for a long time. If we might just kind of get honest this morning with ourselves and with God, many of us might have to admit we are in the Box Canyon of anger. Now, I need to tell you, I'm not going to be talking about incidental anger this morning. Now, here's how I define incidental anger. It's just the anger that goes along with the frustrations of living in a real world, all right? Living with the flat tires and dead batteries and flooded bathrooms and air conditioners that break on the hottest day of the year kind of real world that we live in, all right? I'm talking about deep-rooted, deep-seated, life-poisoning anger that many of us carry for years. And it's just barely beneath the surface, so that sometimes any little incident sets us off. What is your AQ this morning? Your anger quotient. You know, anger is one of our most complex emotions. It is hard to understand and sometimes hard to figure out. And the reason that it is because many times our anger diverts our attention from the real issues, the real first emotion that we feel. Many times in our lives, something is so painful and so hurtful or so fearful that it is just much easier to jump to the second emotion of anger than it is to deal with that first emotion that is so hurtful to us. I was reading a magazine this week about a lady who drives a school bus in California. Her name is Darlene Cruz. She tells the story about the very first day that 15-year-old Patty got on her bus. She said she always tries to greet the kids that get on her bus very warmly. But she said the very first time she saw Patty's face, it was like granite and stone. And she said as she greeted her, "Good morning, glad you're here today," her response was just a scowl that said, "Leave me alone." She said Patty had long, dark, stringy hair that wasn't combed. She had unmatched clothing. She had teeth that were yellow, and her breath and her clothing both smelled. And she said she became a target immediately of the kids on the bus. And though Darlene Cruz said she tried to negate that by telling the kids to be nice and all that sort of thing, a lot of it didn't get by her. One morning, Patty got on the bus with a particularly sour-looking attitude, and as she got on, she sort of shoved her way to the back of the bus, and two of the kids said something to her, and she immediately started pounding one of them. And so Darlene Cruz pulled the bus over and got her out in the outside the bus, and she said, "Now listen, hon, you cannot act like that and ride our bus." She said she let out this string of obscenities and called me everything in the world, and she said, "I'm not your hun, and this is the way I am, and this is what I do, and if you don't like it, you know what you can do about it." Darlene Cruz said to her, "You know, I am going to forgive and forget what you just said, and tomorrow is going to be a brand new day for you and me. And she said she cursed again and said, there is never a brand new day for me. And she stomped back onto the bus. Darlene Cruz said, I was so bothered by that, I decided to go where she, you know, to her home that afternoon after I finished my runs. And she said, I drove up to this trailer park where she usually got on, and I drove around until I saw her. And she was sitting on the steps of a 12-foot travel trailer where she and her brother and her parents lived. No running water, no bathroom, just the four people in that 12-foot travel trailer. And she said, when I saw her, she was seated on the steps, crying her eyes out, and as I pulled up and turned off the car and started to get out and she saw me, she started to kind of bristle up a little bit, and about that time the front door opened and her mother came running out the front door screaming, and her dad threw a pan at her as she ran. And Darlene Cruz said, as I witnessed as they shouted obscenities at each other there in that courtyard of that trailer yard, she said, I then understood. And when I saw Patty's eyes and she looked at me for the first time, I saw the hurt in her rather than the anger and the hatred. She said she invited her that day to go eat a hamburger and a soda with her, and she talked to her for a long time and found out that all of her belongings fit in one cardboard box, and that they had no way to wash their clothes, and she didn't have a brush to comb her hair or a toothbrush to brush her teeth. She didn't have deodorant. She didn't have any of the things that everyone else. And so she went and got her a package of all that thing and brought it to her and washed her clothes for her. And that began a relationship between the bus driver and 15-year-old Patty that led to a transforming life change in this 15-year-old girl. But the point I want to make is the anger that she was expressing to everybody wasn't the first emotion, it was the second. What was really down deep inside was the hurt and the pain of life that she was living with her parents. You see, here's how it works. When you and I are born in this world and are babies, we are dependent upon our parents for everything. Everything. They feed us, they clothe us, they change us, they bathe us, they take care of us in every way in the world. And then we begin to grow and we begin to be able to do some of those things for ourselves. We can clothe ourselves and we can, you know, grab a fork or a spoon and feed ourselves. And then we learn how to tie our shoes. And we're feeling pretty independent. But we're still dependent on our parents for all of the emotional needs we have in life. We're dependent upon them for affection and for affirmation and for security and for protection and for knowing that our parents are standing by us in every way. Now, what happens when your parents don't come through for you in those dependent emotional years? What happens if instead of affirmation, all you get is ridicule and criticism? What if instead of affection, you get abuse, physical or sexual or verbal abuse? What if instead of security, you live in a world of volatility? You don't know where they are, where they stand, or what they're going to be like when they get home. In those deep emotional years, that first thing that you feel down inside may be fear, it may be sadness, it may be grief, it may be profound hurt down deep inside, and those are such painful times for a small child, it's just easier to bolt to anger. Because when you're angry, you feel less vulnerable, and you feel stronger, and you feel more aggressive. And so it's easier to bolt from that primary emotion to that secondary emotion of anger. And then anger begins to show itself throughout your life. What is your anger quotient this morning? I saw a movie not too long ago they'd cleaned up and put on television. Maybe you've seen it. It was called The Program. It starred James Caan as a football coach down in Florida. And he's got a team that has the potential to win the championship. But the success of the team revolves around the life of his quarterback. And as the movie progresses, you can tell in the beginning there's something troubling that quarterback. There's something the matter with him because he does all these crazy antics. He lays down in the middle of a highway where the stripes are as traffic is wheeling by him. He goes on drinking sprees where he gets just so drunk he doesn't know where he is. He drives his motorcycle out of control. He stands on a railroad track while a train is coming, and at the very last second, he jumps out of the way. It's just all of these things. Something is going on. Finally, you get to see him with his dad, his alcoholic dad. His dad is an unemployed alcoholic, and he tells his son, the quarterback, every time he sees him, "You're a loser. You're never going to be successful. You're going to be just like I am," etc. All the way through this movie, his dad is doing this to him. And you begin to understand that this young man is troubled and living in anger because of the hurt that he feels in his relationship with his dad. You know something? There are a lot of people in our world that live like that. You know who some of the most angry, troubled kids that I know of are? They're the children of preachers and missionaries and elders. And they have been so neglected because their parents have been out doing the work of God that they didn't do their work at home. And some of the most angry, resentful kids that I meet are kids of those church leaders who aren't doing their work at home. Now, I need to tell you that kids aren't the only one that fall into that trap of jumping quickly to anger. Sometimes it doesn't happen as children. You grow up in a fine home, and then later something happens. And something that happens is so painful, it's just easy to divert to anger. Let me ask you a question. What's going on when a wife meets her husband at the door and says, "Well, glad you could finally make it home. Why don't you just move your bed down to the office? You spend more time down there than you do here." Or maybe she meets him at the door saying, "I'll tell you one thing, you're not getting any chocolates or turn down service at this hotel. The only thing you do here is sleep here." Now, what's going on with her? You say, "Well, she's angry, Einstein." Yeah, I know she's angry, but what's really going on? I mean, if you could get past the anger, what's going on in her? Well, she feels devalued and unloved and neglected and lonely. And it's just too hard and painful for her to sit down and tell her mate how desperately bad he makes her feel because he isn't doing at home what he needs to be doing. And so it's so much easier to jump to anger and to attack than it is to deal with that hurtful emotion down deep inside. I've met a lot of people in my lifetime who are mad at God because a loved one has died. And they're shaking their fist in God's face. And what is really going on is that there is a gaping wound in their life that is so desperately big because someone they love with all of their heart has just been ripped out of their lives. And they are so pained by that. The absence of that wound that may never be healed, that it's just easier rather than deal with the painful things that they feel inside to jump to anger, and they shake their fist at God, or they sue a physician for malpractice or something. There are just a lot of adults that have themselves found in the box canyon of anger. I want us to look this morning at a couple of stories in the book of Genesis about anger. The first is in Genesis 4. The Bible says Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son, Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Cain means brought forth. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out into the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. You know, the way the text impresses me is that Cain brought an offering from his harvest that wasn't an acceptable offering to God. That is, it wasn't some of the first fruits, some of the best. It was the leftovers. And when Cain brings the leftovers to God and God isn't pleased with it, but Abel brings, the Bible says, from the firstborn of his flock, the fat portions, the firstborn of his flock, and God is pleased with his. The first emotion I think Cain probably experiences is that of hurt and rejection. He is pleased with Abel's offering, but He's not pleased with my offering. And there's that hurt that suddenly turns to anger. Now, Abel hadn't done anything to Cain, and yet his anger begins to lash out at Abel. He invites Abel out into the field and does the absolutely unthinkable. He murders his own brother. Because anger that isn't dealt with properly, folks, leads to destructive habits and behaviors. Turn with me back to Genesis 37. Genesis 37. Look at verse 3. Now Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw his father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. You see what's going on in the life of the brothers? There's an enormous hurt inside and a feeling of rejection because Jacob loves Joseph more than any of them. Because Jacob wasn't doing his work at home and affirming all of his sons, because he showed a special affection for Joseph and showed him favoritism in the way he treated him, the other sons are left out and they're hurt. And their hurt turns to anger, and anger to rage and hatred. They're on the track in Genesis 37 to do the same thing to their brother Joseph that Cain did to Abel, to kill him. And when they got their opportunity, they decided, we're going to kill him. And Reuben steps in and saves Joseph's cookies. They put him in a cistern, and a train of Ishmaelites are coming by, and they sell their brother into slavery into Egypt. But they're on the same track to kill him that Cain was. Later, Joseph looks back on that whole incident. He said, you intended it for harm, but God meant it for good. The first homicide in the Bible is the result of anger not dealt with properly. Joseph being sold into slavery is the result of anger not being dealt with properly. Now, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, we're to be angry but not to sin, and not to let the sun go down on our anger. And it says later in chapter 4, we're to get rid of all malice and rage and anger. And then we're to be kind and tenderhearted and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God has forgiven you. Let me give you some practical steps on how to deal with your anger, okay? These are the ABCs of dealing with your anger healthily, all right? A, acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Aren't we masters that when people say, are you angry at me? We say what? No, I'm not angry. We're masters at doing that. Listen, if you're angry, don't suppress it or deny it. Acknowledge it. You know, you say, I kind of feel like my temperature's going up a little bit. Yeah, I think I am a little angry about that. Acknowledge it. Number 2, B, backtrack. Backtrack. A, acknowledge it. B, backtrack. Go back and try to find out what it was that caused you to be angry in the first place. What primary emotion began to get? Was it fear? Was it rejection? Was it grief? Was it pain? What was it that caused you to divert yourself to anger in the first place? C, confess it. Take that thing to God and confess it to Him in prayer and say, God, I want You to take care of this anger. I give You this anger. I want You to replace the anger that I feel inside with the peace that passes understanding. D, A, B, C, D, acknowledge it, backtrack, confess. D, determine to forgive. Determine to forgive. By the power of the Spirit of God living in you, determine that you're going to forgive. You say, you don't understand what all has been done to me. Well, I might not understand fully. But I know that if you don't come to the place where you forgive, that like a cancer that eats away at your spirit and soul, that anger will eat you up and destroy your life and your relationships. You must determine by the power and help of God you are going to forgive. You know, I think the reason why God puts such a burden on us to forgive one another is twofold. Number one, because when we forgive, we imitate God. He forgave us. And number two, He knows the destructive thing that can happen to us when we harbor our anger. And there comes a point in time where we've got to sit down by the power of God and say, God, I need your help. Help me honestly from the heart forgive this person. Who was it? Who was it that let you down? As you pry the lid off of that thing this morning and try to go back and determine why it is that your anger quotient is so high all of the time, try to decide, who was it? Was it a parent that didn't come through for me? Was it a mate that did a number on me? Was it a business colleague that cheated me in business? Was it a friend that betrayed me in our friendship? You know, what was it that caused that? And then sit down, confess that to God and say, God, take away my anger, and determine by the power of the Spirit to forgive. You say, Ronnie, that's easy words to say. You don't know anything about that kind of stuff. Well, I might know a little more than you think. Because I grew up in the home of two alcoholics. There have been some times in my life when I've had to just sit down and determine by the power of God to forgive because of parents that didn't come through. So I might know a little bit more about it than you might imagine. And I'm telling you that anger that isn't dealt with properly will destroy your faith and it will destroy your life in God. Let me close with this. Back years ago when we started burying the toxic waste, our attitude in America was, well, out of sight, out of mind, you know? And then we found out later that some of that toxic waste leaked and got into some water supplies and people started getting sick and there began to be symptoms throughout villages and towns all around America that something was going on, something was poison. And what we found out was some of the toxic waste was leaking. Listen to me. Anger that is internalized and not dealt with in a God-honoring, healthy way. Listen to me. Internalized anger will leak. And it will poison every relationship you have in your heart if you don't deal with it in a God-honoring way. Listen, if you're in the box canyon of anger this morning, you need to understand we have a God who created us with that emotion, who understands it and who can deal with it, who can handle it. And you need to know that He is in that box canyon for one reason, and that is to help you deal with it in a God-honoring way. Acknowledge it, backtrack to find the cause of it, confess it, and determine by the power of God's Spirit you're going to forgive. You'll be amazed at what God can do with the anger that you might feel in life. Let's pray together. Father God, we know that there are a lot of angry people in our world. And for some of us this morning, we've come face to face with the fact that some of those people are us. And we confess we need your help because a parent didn't come through for us and give us what we needed, or because a mate did a number on us, or because a friend betrayed us, because a child rejected us. And God, that anger that has been there for years needs your attention. And I pray that by the power of your Spirit, you might replace the anger that we feel with your peace. We pray for the power to forgive, for the power to release that to you, because you have forgiven us. We pray that we might always turn to the example of Jesus, who stands as the perfect one, who forgave in spite of all of the things done to him. I pray, Father, for those in the box canyon of anger this morning, that you might help them deal with their anger in a way that is honoring to you and healthy for their lives. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 2, Peter says this about our Lord Jesus. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. For by his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This one knows something about being betrayed. He knows something about what it is to be tempted with anger and not to deal with it properly. And He invites you to come and receive the power that only He can give you by the power of His Spirit and His presence. He invites you to come to Him this morning, right now, while we stand together and while we sing.
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever.
Coming this morning, asking for our prayers and encouragement, is Christy Long. Christy is a student at UCO and was brought here, I think, originally by Craig and Leslie Altrock. She's been in our Sunday morning Bible class for the whole time, I guess, that she's been here. She's a very, very sweet young lady. She comes this morning in a lot of pain, saying, I'm dealing with a lot of anger because of the hurt that has been dealt to me by my family in my lifetime. And she said, it's tearing me apart, and I need the healing that God can give. And she needs the encouragement and the strength that prayer from this congregation can be to her. And so this morning we surround her with prayer and encouragement and love. And we want to lift Christy up in prayer. One of our shepherds, Dale Payne, will lead us in that prayer as we go to the Father in Christy's behalf. Dale.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you on behalf of Christy Long. Heavenly Father, we know that Christy is hurting, has a lot of pain, has had some problems that she's had to deal with. Heavenly Father, we know that you are able. We know, Heavenly Father, that you're our healer. And Heavenly Father, we pray that, in other words, Christy can turn these problems, in other words, over to you. Use us, Heavenly Father, as your children to be an encouragement to Christy. Help her, help us to help her where we can. Heavenly Father, we know that you're the source of strength. We know that you're the source of healing. Heavenly Father, we have several in the congregation that's dealing with hurt, dealing with anger. Help us, Heavenly Father, to acknowledge our anger. Help us to determine what causes our anger, and then confess our anger to others and to you. And help us to have determination to forgive. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for always being at our side, always being there to help us. We pray, Heavenly Father, we'll just put our trust in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
It does come down to that, as Dale said in his prayer, just believing that God is able, which He is, and allowing Him to work. I would like for you to stand and sing with us as we close the words that Paul wrote for us in the book of Ephesians. That's all right. So feel free to stand. As we confess that we do believe that He is able, and we praise Him who's able to do not only what we ask, but far and exceeding beyond that.
Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, throughout all generations, to Him be glory in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, throughout all generations, to Him be glory in Christ Jesus. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine.
Dismissed it.